The Triumph of God's Love, Commentary for the June 29th, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is a second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verses 13 through 15. It seems ironic that the title of this lesson is The Triumph of God's Love. Most of us do not equate love with burning people in a lake of fire. In fact, when most are feeling the bite of justice in our lives, no matter how small the nibble or how well-deserved it is, we are often among the first to claim those charged with the responsibility of meting out justice as being unchristian and unloving. But is that the case? Suppose a bridge is out from a storm, and caring for others, we erect signs along the road warning that the bridge is out. But someone wants to reach a destination on the other side of the river and drives rapidly along the road, ignoring the signs. In their haste, their car ends up in the river. After being rescued and questioned why they went ahead despite the signs warning them, they reply that it was not a very loving thing for the bridge to be out. Instead of putting up signs, the bridge should never have been out in the first place if people had cared about the motoring public. Too many go through life thinking like this, making poor choices and blaming the consequences of those choices on others. Often the other being blamed is God. For millennia we have been told that eventually the road is going to run out, that the earth is destined for apocalyptic chaos. Even those who profess no faith in God have been able to see the signs and warn humanity that we cannot continue down this road or our mutual destruction is insured. Rather than change course, the response is to blame God and claim atheism as though that will somehow put that meanie God in his place. Rather than read the signs that are becoming ever more frequent, we pretend there is no sign maker, and therefore no signs. Besides, even if God were to exist, how could a loving God let things get so far out of hand? But if we are looking for someone to blame for the mess besetting us, we need look no further than the nearest mirror. According to the early chapters of Genesis, and it does not matter if you take the text literally or metaphorically, things did not start out badly. It was so idyllic that Revelation depicts a restoration of what once existed as a future ideal. God placed humanity in paradise as an act of love. One day he will do the same again with the earth made new. The book of life is our deed that entitles us to paradise. If our names are found there, we will once again return to that home. So how do we get our name added to that book? We cannot. Our names are already written in the book from the creation of the world. That is why the Bible does not mention adding anyone's name to that tome. So does that mean everyone is predestined to be saved no matter what? Hardly. Think of it like this. We begin a new term at school and the teacher tells us that he sees only a classroom of A students before him. So we each begin with that grade. Over the coming term, it will be our choice whether we finish the term with that same grade. The course of our experience with his class will be determined by the choices we make along the way. We may decide YouTube videos are a better source of knowledge than the assigned texts. When our grade begins to slip as a result, the teacher will remind us it is not too late to pull the grade back up. But our friends remind us that the teacher is a kind person, and that failing us would be out of character for such a kind person. So we continue to presume on the teacher's character instead of heeding the lessons being taught during class. When the term ends with our failing the course, we blame the teacher, who never should have allowed such a bad outcome. Despite some keeping the A the entire term, we claim that he was no teacher, or we would not have failed. Failure to recognize our own complicity through our bad choices may even lead us to leave school, in which case there will no longer be terms where we start out with an A. Only the consequences of our choices, as we stumble through life, unable to accept responsibility for where we end up. While the Bible does not mention anyone's name being added to the Book of Life, it does speak of the possibility of being blotted out of its pages. How does that happen? As we consistently ignore the consequences of our choices and their corrective nature for our lives, we become inured to those consequences, even believing that they are a normal part of life, are therefore no more meaningful than a piece of paper in a fortune cookie, something to laugh about, but never to take seriously. Besides, how could a loving God ever delight in the eternal fiery torment of his creation? Who could ever love a God like that? In John's first epistle, he tells us, God is love, 1 John 4:8. According to the opening verses of Revelation, it was written by the same John who wrote those words. This means that love must be the key to understanding those apocalyptic scenarios found there. Much of the book is about justice. Does this mean that love cannot exist in the absence of justice? If that is the case, then the overwhelming tide of injustice in the world is an alarming portent of what is to come. For love to reign as intended from creation, justice will need to have its due. We can run up a tremendous debt with easy credit and low interest rates on unsecured revolving debt, but eventually it will come to a screeching halt. We can blame everyone but ourselves when our credit castle comes tumbling down. But until we address our own bad choices, we will never find the path to true personal freedom. We were not created to be enslaved either financially or spiritually. Nonetheless, like Adam and Eve in Eden, we are too easily duped into seeing slavery as freedom and vice versa. For example, there have been many who have been misled to believe that easy credit is a good thing that will open doors to extremely low interest rates and a booming financial future. In reality, people end up with their financial future chained to a debt of $20,000, $30,000, or more dollars that will take years to unchain themselves from. Once enslaved, some may never find their way to freedom this side of death. While love would never enslave others like that, it would warn them of the danger and set before them the need to choose aright between slavery and freedom. God does the same. Through the Bible, through the witness of others, through the guiding of the Holy Spirit, we are warned many times over the course of our lives of the possible consequences of proceeding down a road where the bridge is out. We cannot safely travel that road through the apocalypse to come. Strangely, despite the troubling signs of what awaits us if we continue as we have, voices still tell the unwary that there is nothing to worry about. Everything will be okay, and tomorrow will be much like yesterday, and infinitely on into the future, or at the very least, for the rest of our lives. We cannot see the looming precipice for the crush of all the lemmings who are in front of us. But no matter how many others are on the same path, and no matter how confident they are that it is a correct one, we should never surrender our individual responsibility to the mob. They are not invested in our future. Above all, do not give in to the fears of the mob. Fears will produce its own frightening reality, devoid of love and hope. Move faithfully forward, trusting in a God who is more than willing to sustain that perfect grade, that listing in the book of life. Emulate his loving character, and that love will drive out fear, displacing despair. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with scripture footnotes supporting the ideas in this commentary, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more commentaries, podcasts. You can also find dozens of articles, as well as links to books written by the author at that website. Once again, it's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.